We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Way to set it off, big boy Sky. It is a Thursday. We do not have Falcons football on Sunday. We need to occupy ourselves with other things. TNA, bowl games, Hugh Douglas wearing shorts. It's all in play as we come to you live from the Kia Studios high above Peachtree. John Michaels, you saved the day.
How do I do that?
John Michaels helped me figure out the kooky ESPN functionality to get the confidence numbers next to my picks. Last night, firmed them up. FAU gets a full 40. My least confident bowl game, John, is Utah State over New Mexico State. I put that one at a 1.
Yeah, let me tell you, I know nothing about Utah State or New Mexico State. I think they're both the Aggies, though, in a weird bowl matchup. I believe it's the Utah State Aggies and the New Mexico State Aggies. I could be wrong. I know Utah State wears blue and white, and they have a U on their helmet.
Utah State was decent against Wisconsin in the first half of their game. That is why I'm picking Utah State, but giving it a confidence level of 1. John and I are going to
rock that. What do you have, Grambling and North Carolina A&T?
I actually think North Carolina A&T is, I got a 24 on that.
Wow.
And I got North Carolina A&T prevailing.
Wow, that's a lot of confidence Celebration Bowl.
I did a little research on that.
I go a very less scientific way of how I pick that game.
Do you throw darts?
No, I pitched against Grambling. I actually threw 8 innings, struck out 9. I got offered a scholarship by Grambling after the game. True story, to go be a SWAC pitcher. But I had already decided, now I'm coming to Atlanta. The girl I was dating at the time was living here, so I was already done with college. I was just playing out the string.
So, John, you have beef with somebody here in Atlanta.
Who?
All right. It was yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I'm at NBA TV headquarters. I'm in the locker room.
Okay.
You know, you see plaques, you know, Shaq, Charles,
sure,
Rick Kamla, Steve Smith.
Yep.
Sekou Smith.
Uh-huh.
Sekou has a locker right next to mine.
Okay.
And I'm kidding, of course, John. Mm-hmm. So
I was like, oh,
yeah,
do I have beef?
I build stuff up a little bit.
Look,
too
I was already
good.
Cracking the knuckles.
I was deadpanning too well right there. shout out to my buddy Sekou Smith, great friend of the radio station, over there at NBA TV and NBA.com. Anyway, John, I'll defuse it because I noticed John was getting a little tense.
I was just trying to hear where this was going.
So I'm going to pop the bubble. But Sekou Smith was like, you know, man, I heard your guy John, you know, the other day throwing a bunch of shade at Michigan. So Sekou's a Michigan guy, and Sekou listens to the show, and shout out to him if he's listening right now. But he was like, John said this, and he said this, and he said this, and then Sekou comes back with, you know, what the hell's Miami ever done?
It always turns into Miami.
So it was fantastic just to listen, and I love talking football with Sekou. He knows the college game and the pro game. But
Did he really say what the hell has Miami ever done?
Not in terms of the overall history.
Same that Michigan's done, nothing.
Sekou, literally, if you want to call the show and just bust, you know, what's with John Michaels, you can. But you officially have beef with a media member here in Atlanta. His name is Sekou Smith.
Yeah, and I've met Sekou a bunch of times when I worked at the other station. He came in there a bunch. Great dude. He's fantastic at his job. And you know what? Michigan fans, they've been all up in their feelings all year. When you go 8-4, when you're supposed to have Jim Harbaugh the savior, and that's what you do, well, unfortunately, that's your lot in life.
They had 5 returning starters, John.
That's a them problem.
No,
recruit
the problem
better.
Is you're applying unrealistic expectations to a team that had 5 returning starters.
They lost one more game this year than they did last year when they were supposed to be the be-all, end-all. So that's who they are. They're going to lose 3 games under Jim Harbaugh. We may lose a game every year we're not supposed to under Mark Richt. That's our lot in life.
Now you really have beef with Sekou Smith.
We just have a cool turnover chain. They have awesome helmets.
Yeah, what do they have?
Their helmets are awesome.
Well, they got a little brown jug or something like that going on. They got an axe.
I was gonna say, every game in the Big Ten,
they got
you play
a bear
for
trap.
You play for a pig. You play for a bucket. You play for an axe. I think they play for like a honeycomb.
Is there ever a power drill in play?
There may be.
When Northwestern plays Illinois, is it for a power drill?
No, that's for like an SAT cheat score or I don't know. They play for all kinds of nonsense in the Big Ten. Down here in the SEC and the ACC, they play for championships.
Yeah, there's no kooky little trinkets exchanging hands at the end of games in the SEC.
For Georgia and Georgia Tech, they play for grass and hedges. Not Benson and hedges, but grass and hedges.
Anybody excited about tonight? Anybody? Big premiere tonight, Star Wars.
You going?
I'll see you guys for the 10:20 segment. I'm
so
out.
You're going at midnight tonight?
No, I got I enjoyed the series, and we'll get more to this in the slice of life. I'm not a fanatic, but my buddy called and said, we have one extra ticket for tonight. Do you want to go? And I said, hell yeah, I want to go.
Now, are you dressing as Chewbacca or Princess Leia?
No, straight Princess Leia, bikini and everything. We put a
he's more Jabba the Hutt.
Dong or regular?
We put a Twitter, Vision Computer Twitter poll yesterday. Rick and John 929, are you a bigger fan of Star Wars, Star Trek, or neither? Star Wars wins with 53%.
I think the vote's already over?
No, you still got about an hour left if you want to go to respond to it.
53%? What are the other percentages?
53% said Star Wars. 5% said Star Trek. 42% said neither.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Star Trek sucks. I mean, Star Trek was horrible. I'm a Trekkie. They're going to beam me down to some godforsaken planet.
So with Star Wars dominating Star Trek like that, are Trekkies just daring to be different? Because their product is obviously that inferior. Is it a dare to be different
thing? Also think this.
Is it a, I don't want it, they're the cool people, and I want to just be, you know, a nerd over here on this side? Like, what's the Trekkie deal?
I think some of this may be timing, because people are excited about The Last Jedi. This is a billion-dollar, this movie's going to make ton of money. It is huge.
I'm waiting until next week. Kane is just bonkers about Star Wars. I mean, he's seen them all now. All of his video games are Star Wars. He's got Star Wars up in his room. He just loves it. Funny, it's like me as a 7-year-old or an 8-year-old, because that was what was going on in my house back in the 80s. He's all excited about it. I go and I'll eat in the movie theater and then usually fall asleep.
After the mess that was like the Phantom Menace and the Clone Wars and all that crap.
The last one was actually
Jar Jar. But then when they reinvented themselves with The Force Awakens, this new series is pretty good.
Yeah, we're going Saturday. Tyler's got a flag football game, but we're going after that. She'd already pre-bought the tickets beforehand.
I got some plays if they need them for flag football.
You do?
You know, I'm kind of an aficionado when it comes to flag football.
Yeah, I heard that about you. Because that's what's up.
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
The process we go through to get ready is really important, and we just want to stay in that pocket as long as we can each week just to stay our focus. But they needed the rest and came at a good time for us.
DQ talking about the mini bye there, and that's kind of what the Falcons had Thursday to Monday. It was much needed. You knew when the schedule came out and you looked and you go, man, you got Minnesota and then New Orleans and, you know, a 5-day stretch. The best thing after that is you had a nice stretch to get ready for Tampa Bay. We'll hear some from Dan Quinn coming up at 12 o'clock. He was on with John and Hugh this morning. I was listening to the interview. And one of the things that really catches your eye is this team is healthy, save Tevin Coleman, who's still in the protocol, and Andy Levitre, who's still dealing with the arm injury. That's what you need coming down the stretch is relative health. You've got your secondary back. You've got most of your pieces on offense back and ready to go. Now you got to put in a dominant performance on Monday night and keep this playoff string going.
So, John, you have beef with Sekou Smith, and it presumably will linger for years.
Okay.
And hopefully Miami and Michigan can somehow meet up in a bowl game one of these years. You know who doesn't still have beef?
Who's that?
Arthur Blank and Jerry Jones.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm a little disappointed.
They squashed
it. I actually was happier when Blank was at odds with Jerry. But it says here, John, Jones and Blank actually shook hands today and were overheard reassuring each other. Says everybody played nice with the media. Here's what Blank said. Quote, I've got great respect for Jerry. I spoke to him on the phone about a week and a half ago. It was a very good conversation. I thanked him, which I didn't get a chance to do or chose not to do, really, the time we played because I didn't think it was the right setting. Well played, Arthur. And then it says here, John, Blank and Jones ran into each other Wednesday afternoon. Blank extended his hand to Jones and asked, are we okay? Jones shook his hand and answered firmly, we are okay. The two then spoke privately for several minutes. Arthur, good on you. It sounds like Arthur kind of extended the olive branch and just tried to squash the whole thing. But John Michael still has beef with Sekou Smith.
What would have been funny if Jerry Jones goes, nah, fool, we still got beef. Big D in the house. And then Arthur, I don't know, like a scene from The Warriors in 1986.
Great movie.
All of a sudden, the Falcons cronies come from behind. Arthur Blank, the Dallas cronies get in behind, and they have like a dance battle or something. That would have been great.
Or like the Ron Burgundy battle between all the different crews. But hopefully nobody loses an arm or anything
like
that.
No, an arm would be detrimental for everything there.
So, John, this is not what's up because it's sad news, and we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I want to talk a little bit more about it this morning. Is Mr. Falcon, the first Falcon, Tommy Nobis, passes away at the age of 74. And I did some reading on him, John, because it's not about, you know, College Football Hall of Fame and all that kind of, I wanted to read an anecdote or two or a story or two. And I didn't know this. You know, back in 1965 at the Orange Bowl, he tackled Joe Namath on fourth down, I think fourth and goal, and kept Namath from getting into the end zone, preserved the lead, and got the win for Texas over Alabama. So it said one of the most famous tackles in college football history, authored up by Tommy Nobis. And then Fran Tarkenton had an encounter with Tommy Nobis on the field. Check this out. I'm just going to read this off the article. Nobis was a different animal altogether, it says. Hall of Fame quarterback Fran Tarkenton, who, John, as you know, was one of the toughest dudes to ever play the game. He once ducked out of bounds instead of fighting for an extra yard for a first down on a key play against Tommy Nobis, and then justified it after the game by saying that nobody would be able to fight through Nobis for that last yard. Tarkenton said it was either dive for the sidelines or try Nobis head on. Which would you have done?
Sidelines. Another thing, and we didn't talk about this much yesterday, Tommy Nobis, obviously known for his philanthropic work. He has the Tommy Nobis Center, now known as Nobis Works. He's been dedicated to working with people with mental and physical disabilities. I believe that's up in Kennesaw. So he stayed local here in Atlanta. Everyone on Twitter or anybody that's talked or known Tommy Nobis just talked about what a great individual he was. Mr. Falcon dead yesterday at the age of 74. Elsewhere, Aaron Rodgers said he is not back to save the Packers season. And there's actually been debate. Should he play or should he stay on the sideline?
The debate is whack. I've heard some radio pundits, some TV pundits, you know, and I think people are just daring to be different, John, with
hot takers.
Because it's like, the Packers are jeopardizing their future with Aaron Rodgers. What if he's like Tony Romo and comes back from a collarbone and 2 weeks later re-breaks the collarbone? I've got a heads up for everybody. The Packers would not medically clear Aaron Rodgers unless his collarbone was healed, okay? Is he in perfect shape? Is he in perfect rhythm? No, but you have to get Aaron Rodgers on the football field. This should not even be a debate. We're going to talk MLB Hot Stove with Grant McCauley at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
A lot going on there. And the return of John Collins tonight,
nice.
John. He is probable to play. Injured his shoulder on November 30th. Presumably he will get back his starting job at center. It'll be the Pistons and the Hawks tonight, 7:30 at Phillips. And the Hawks, John, lead the lottery standings. They are 6-21 in first place. The Bulls 7-20. Then Dallas and Memphis at 8-20. And then Phoenix at 9-21.
Yeah, suddenly Mirotić back for the Bulls, and they're on fire. They've won like three in a row. Amazing to see what happens when you don't have a broken jaw and you can actually shoot the ball. We take a break. We come back. We'll talk to the head Hawk. It's Mike Budenholzer. Join us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
All right, here we go back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Rick and John. Glad to have you along for the ride here on a Thursday. And as you know, Thursday at 10:20, we rock it with Mike Budenholzer. He is the head coach of our Atlanta Hawks. And, Coach, good morning. How you living this holiday season?
Doing all right. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Thanks for asking, Coach. So I want to start with John Collins. You know he's my guy. He's our guy. Great human being. He likes jazz music. He's a heck of a player. We're big fans. And I'm seeing he's probable for tonight's game. Coach, tell me more.
Yeah, no, he'll suit up and, you know, we'll play him. We'll probably limit the minutes a little bit. But he's done a great job in his rehab and diligent in his work and every day, and the APT staff's done a really great job with him. And, you know, he's ready to go. He had a great practice with our G League team. The Erie Bayhawks came down and spent the day with us in Cleveland and able to get a practice in with them and go live and 5-on-5. So it was really ideal for him and his final kind of step to getting back on the court.
Coach, what explain the process, because I saw the transaction that he – goes down to the G League team, and then he was right back up with the big club. Was that just made so he could go practice?
Well, there was a little bit of good timing, but, you know, to some degree, yes. You know, I think Erie is just, you know, about a two-hour drive, and Malik Rose, the GM, and Josh, the head coach there, just thought it would be good for their team to come down and watch a shoot-around and just, you know, we're trying to make that group and all of us just feel like we're one and we're connected. And you know, the timing of John needing to have a good practice and go live and 5-on-5, which, you know, we're in the middle of five games in 7 days. And so it really just kind of worked out where something that was pre-planned turned into a you know, just the perfect timing for him to get a great practice and go live and 5-on-5 full court and, you know, the contact and all the things that happen in a game or a practice that prepare you for the game. It worked out just, you know, really, really well with the G League team.
Yeah, no doubt. It's the NBA's underbelly, and many people don't know about it, but it is a really great way, you know, to find ways to benefit your team and help your team, and you guys certainly get very creative with that. We've got Mike Budenholzer. It's On the Court with Coach Bud. We do it every Thursday at 10:20. Will John Collins tonight, Coach, do you think, return to his starting job at center?
No, we're going to bring him off the bench, and, you know, like I said, he'll be on a little bit of a minutes restriction and get his conditioning back and everything. We'll just see how it goes with, you know, whether he starts or comes off the bench. You know, he's a big part of what we're doing, and, you know, I think he's going to get a lot of opportunity. And, you know, for tonight, he'll come off the bench, and we'll just see how it is going forward.
Coach, was there a scenario when you had John going through this whole rehab process that you had to slow him down a little bit? Because he seems like a guy, every time we've met him, that the only thing he wants to do right now is play basketball.
Yeah, no, he's... He's definitely like that colt that's ready to run at any moment and, you know, wants to let out. And so, you know, I don't know. I would just say, you know, kind of educate him and keep him patient and, you know, help him understand the big picture and all those things. And, you know, once you talk with him and you kind of explain things, he's been great.
Coach Bud joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, home of the Hawks. Tonight's ball game against the Pistons will be heard right here. Conti with the pregame and Steve Holman with the call, 7 and 7:30 the times respectively on that. And Detroit is in town. They're above 500. They're having a good season. Great start. They have dipped a little bit. But, Coach, you've got Andre Drummond and Boban Marjanovic, who is 7'3" and skilled. And obviously Andre Drummond is a beast of a monster in the middle, and he's got the weight down and having a great year. Is that maybe why the minutes are restricted a bit for John Collins tonight?
No, I think, you know, it would, you know, no matter who we were playing, you know, I think just coming off the injury and get this conditioning back and making sure we don't, you know, go from 0 to 100, you know, it's just something that makes a lot of sense on a lot of different levels. So, it's more about that, you know, certainly Drummond and Boban, is, you know, going to be a handful for Miles and John and Irsan and Tyler and all our guys have got to match up with them. But it's a lot more just about making sure John is in a good place, you know, not just for tonight, but going forward.
Coach, I want to go back to the other night against Cleveland. Torian Prince really seemed to step up to the challenge of going against LeBron James. Had one of his best games as a Hawk. What did you learn from Torian the other night, hitting 8-for-10 from the floor?
Yeah, no, I feel like Torian's played well, you know, the last week or so. And, you know, I feel like he's making more, you know, the defensive plays, you know, block shot here or there, some rebounds, better individual defense. You know, and then I think, you know, when he does that, I think his offense just kind of comes to him naturally. You know, the other night he drove the ball well, drove and finished and got to the paint. So, you know, we're encouraging him just to keep letting it fly from the three-point line. And, you know, so when he's kind of got both those things, it's, you know, he's hitting at a high percentage from deep and then able to drive and finish and, you know, mix in some kickouts to teammates that are open for threes, you know. He just becomes, you know, a player that's got a lot to his game.
It's our guy, Coach Bud, on the wait4.com hotline. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios on the home of the Hawks. And, Coach, I'm sorry for the reminder, but the record books say that the Cavs have the single game regular season record for threes. They have the postseason single game record for threes, unfortunately both against our guys. And then the other night, just whapping threes again. It seems like every time we play Cleveland, they have 20 or more threes. It's ridiculous. Is it more of their greatness or deficiencies with your Hawks in guarding the three line?
Well, I think it really comes down to LeBron James and, you know, the attention that he commands. And, you know, we put a lot of attention on him. We, you know, we try and limit his, you know, particularly finishes in the paint. I think, you know, I think going into the game, he was like 73% or something ridiculous from the three in the paint at the rim. And he's just, you know, he's such a physical force. And, you know, we really tilt the court towards him. We give a lot of help towards him. And, you know, it gives them opportunities for threes. And, you know, at the end of the day, they just have great talent, you know, and it starts with an individual talent like him that just puts a huge, huge amount of pressure on the rim and the paint. And so, you know, it's a, it's one of those give or take things. And, you know, we go into our staff meetings and we argue about it, and it's great debate. And, you know, certainly when you're going against good teams, it's hard to find the solution. That's why they're good and great. And they're playing in the finals for 3 or 4 straight years. And LeBron's been there 6 or 7 straight years. They're not easy to guard. And, you know, for us, we've just given him a lot of attention, and, you know, we feel like he's earned it or deserves it.
Coach, we've heard some of the national talking heads, not Rick or I, because both of us respect this game a lot, talk about LeBron and slowing down. You've coached against him now a couple of times already this year. You don't see any signs of him slowing down, do you?
No. I mean, I think he may be playing better than ever. It's really, you know, a testament to him. And, you know, I would just say he's shooting the ball maybe better than I've ever seen, and just looks more confident when the ball comes off his hands. And, you know, when he has that going, you know, if he's making threes or he's making, you know, the fadeaways in the post or the face up, you know, jab, jab, and you know, it's just nothing but net, then, you know, I think he becomes, like I said, I think he may be better than ever. Because I think physically I don't see, you know, if there's any slowing, it's minimal, if at all. And I think, you know, his improved or his confidence in his shooting is just, whatever people may say is regressed. I think it's his shot and his ability to make those that has, you know, made him, I think, a better player or surpassed any other regression in his game.
Coach Bud joining us here, and Coach Tyler Kavanaugh has been a bit of a revelation the other night, 11-9 in 29 minutes against Cleveland. What is his contractual status? Is he a two-way guy? Is he already on a deal? Like, well, what's his contract status, if you can tell us?
Yeah, no, he's still on a two-way deal. You know, at some point, you know, you kind of – there's a limit to the number of days you can be on a two-way and be with the parent team or the big team. And, you know, he's getting close to that. So, you know, there'll probably have to be some decisions made. And he's done a great job. We're really happy with him. So, you know, we'll just see how that plays out here in the short term.
Coach, we had Dan Quinn on this morning, our morning guys did, and they asked him about Christmas. Do you do the Christmas shopping? Are you all done, or is this a last-minute deal for you to try to get the significant other's Christmas gifts?
I'm trying to get better. I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm certainly not done, and I'm certainly hoping not to wait to the last minute, but you'll have to check back with me closer to the 25th. I've got a little jump on it, so I would say I'm ahead of past years, so, but certainly not done.
11 days. That's all you got, Coach. 11 more days.
Okay.
He is, but he's coaching 15 guys in the NBA. Yeah. And so to me, Coach, I'd be outsourcing the gift giving. I really would. I would be delegating that if I were you.
There is some of that going on. Don't tell anybody, but there's some of that.
Coach, thanks so much, man. We'll talk to you next week. Happy holidays.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks a lot. That's Coach Bud on the WadeFord.com hotline. Yeah, Dan Quinn kind of said the same thing. He was like, I got somebody at home. He said, I got my own secret Santa that's doing the shopping for me. Dude, these guys work a ton of hours. And Coach Bud's on the road, and they're gone, and you're city to city. The last thing you want to do is go into some store and try to, you know, spend some time. You have to.
Then again, you got paper like Bud. You can make it happen, man.
That you can. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Star Wars premieres tonight. I know Mark Owens. He's dressed like Princess Leia right now. He's going to see the movie with, you know, like 200 of his closest friends. What iconic movies do you have zero interest in watching? I got a feeling Rick's list will be longer than the rest of ours. That's all coming up next on Sports Radio.
Shivani, the update brought to you by Steinmart. The Hawks have the worst record in the NBA. Tonight, they'll try to move forward as they host the Detroit Pistons. The game could see the return of rookie John Collins. His status upgraded to probable for tonight's game. Collins has missed the past 6 games with a left shoulder injury. 7:30 tip tonight right here on the home of the Hawks. Falcons linebacker Deion Jones named NFC Defensive Player of the Week. 13 tackles in the win over the Saints. Had the game-saving interception over Drew Brees as well. The club announces Mr. Falcon, Tommy Novus, team's first draft pick back in 1966, passes away at his home after an extended illness. He was 74. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell is refuting a report that his recent contract extension will be his last.
I haven't made any determinations. You know, this is something that I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to the challenges. I think our league is in a great position.
His current deal runs through 2024. Steinmart's countdown sale is here. Save up to an extra 5% off. They're already low prices, and take $10 off with an online coupon. The countdown sale now through Sunday only at Stein Mart. Keeping you up to date on Atlanta sports when it happens, Tony Schiavone with the Kia Studios on your home of Monday night's Falcons matchup at Tampa Bay. Kickoff at 8:30. Sports Radio 92.9. The Game. Atlanta Sports Radio
92.9. The Game. Hang on, kid.
This may smell bad, kid. Probably it'll keep you warm.
So what's your go-to drink?
Sounds like you guys fancy yourself drinkers, huh?
When was your last fist fight?
I'm gonna kick your...
Who really wears the pants in the family?
Nah.
Rick and John prove adulting is tough.
It's worse than we thought.
The Slice of Life on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Okie dokie. It's The Slice of Life brought to you by Shane Company. Blower mind, not your budget. With an engagement ring from Shane Co., your friend in the jewelry business. Slice of Lifetime, Rick and John, Kia Studios, Thursday, High Above Peachtree, Midtown, the whole deal.
Yeah.
I guess Star Wars premieres tonight. I know Mark Owens is. Mark, what are you more excited about, the premiere of Star Wars tonight or the recent trip you took to Las Vegas for 15 minutes?
I'm still more excited about that trip from Vegas because I'm still recapping it and still feeling the effects of it. Last night, I sat down to dinner and Gretchen goes, you want a glass of wine? You want a beer? Nope. Nope, still not there yet. Might take me a couple of days.
4 days and you still can't do any alcohol.
What, 28 hours in Vegas?
Boy, you went hard.
About a week to a half to recover.
Do you get like the lower lip quiver or are you like queasy about it?
No, it's, you know what it is? You're off a couple of ticks.
Mm-hmm.
Like it takes you everything, you turn your head, but your eyes don't follow for about another 15 seconds.
I have a cure for that. It's called the camel cocktail. You get right back up on the horse.
Yep. Hair of the dog, baby.
Use this vape pen.
Next question.
No, those are just gummy bears.
All right, so the slice of life is pretty easy. What iconic movies do you have zero interest in watching? Mark Owens is going to go see Star Wars tonight. I'll go next week. My son wants to see it. He's huge into it. What was the last one they had?
Force Awakens.
No, it wasn't The Force Awakens. There was another one.
Star Wars movie?
Yeah, it was a
Finn and Rey, and yeah, where Han Solo gets killed. Spoiler alert!
They also had Rogue One. That's a separate entity. That's all on its own.
And
that's
still Star Wars, though.
It's still Star Wars, but what you're going to see now is much like the Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. There's 500 different Iron Man, Avengers, Thor, Cap. They're all going to start splintering off. But they eventually mean the same thing and have the same storyline. Yeah, but they're going 18 different directions.
No, Rogue One actually ties into some of the original stuff. Rogue One was awesome. I actually enjoyed that. And I will go see The Last Jedi, but it'll be next week.
Can you guys start talking English instead of Japanese for me, please?
All right, so Rick, what are some of the iconic movies you have zero interest in watching? You guys can call and text as well, 404-741-0929. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line.
Okay, I'll just run through my list real quick. Star Wars.
Have you seen any of the Star Wars?
Like back in the day, I did as a kid. I saw probably the first couple, and they were awesome. Darth Vader, the lightsaber, you know, Luke Skywalker, the whole thing. They were pretty cool back then. It just doesn't do it for me anymore. Star Trek. Remember the Titans?
Ridiculous.
That was obligatory. Varsity Blues.
Ridiculous.
Friday Night Lights.
You've never seen Friday Night Lights either?
No, I haven't seen that one either, and I don't care to. Brokeback Mountain.
I don't think that's iconic, though.
It sure is.
Is it?
To a certain group of Americans. Yeah,
no interest.
It's very
in that.
Iconic, but that is a movie I have no interest in seeing. Sex and the City. I have no interest in seeing that.
Yeah, that's crap.
I have no interest in seeing Saw. We documented it. I can't watch a Saw meet flesh and the whole thing. I can't do it.
The very first Saw, very, very good. The rest of them just became gory nonsense.
Understood. And one last one. This is going to be very unpopular this time of year. I'm reluctant to say it because I believe the lovely and talented Wendy Adams, our homegirl in the morning, I think she's going to disown our friendship after I say this. A Christmas Story.
Dude, what is wrong with you?
Charity, earmuffs.
That movie is awesome. You have to watch it once a year for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate that movie. Mm.
What is wrong with you two?
I've seen it 57 and a half times, dude.
Mark, that movie's awesome. Is it just me?
No. Yeah.
It's a great movie. You'll shoot your eye out.
We'll watch like a John Wick flick while these guys are watching Christmas
Story. I'm telling Dad.
They're doing the live Christmas Story Sunday night.
No, I don't need all that. It'll be on 650.
How do you know that, Mark?
Well, because Fox has been running the promos for it ad nauseum.
Yeah.
You can't watch anything. I'll watch it. I freaking love that movie. I put it in about 2 weeks ago just to watch Christmas Story to get ready for Christmas, even though I know I'm going to watch it.
I will usually watch it Christmas Eve with the kids. Now, I'll be coming back from New Orleans, so it might be a late night viewing of A Christmas Story, but that's a great movie. You got to watch A Christmas Story. Sean Thompson's about to. Really?
Sean's agreeing with me.
Oh, whatever.
A Christmas Story overrated. Again, Wendy, you Charity, Northerners. Earmuffs.
Oh,
yes!
Wow.
Shut your hole.
Straight under wow. bus out.
What?
All right. Here's some of the ones.
Says a guy with no girlfriend, no wife, no family, no kids.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a family movie. Wow. You got to have a family,
that was Mark
Sean.
Owens.
You know what's about to happen? Mark, Frieda will be seeing you downstairs in HR shortly. We'll go ahead and hand you
She's
a box.
She's going to want your key card.
Yeah, we'll get you a box for those big headphones that you're wearing right now. Go ahead and go home. All right, here's the ones I have no interest in watching, and I know I'm going to anger a good portion of our fan base. Harry Potter, zero interest in seeing any of that
well
nonsense.
Played. Well played.
Avatar.
It was a good one time.
Stupid.
Dude, I tried to watch that movie. I couldn't get past like the first 10 minutes.
Zoe Saldana is my girl. Like, that's one of my favorite actresses. I have no interest in watching Avatar. Braveheart. You can keep that nonsense.
You're dead to me.
Gladiator. You can keep that
You're
nonsense.
You're super dead to me.
Both of those, zero interest. I don't need anything from the Roman times, the Grecian times.
You don't like period pieces,
no,
do you?
No, they're stupid. I didn't live then. I don't want to live then. I don't need a lion attacking me or whatever. Standing there with feathers around my crotch. No, thank you. Mark Owens, what do you not want to see?
You were on a roll there. I thought you had more. I'm like, no, okay.
I made myself laugh. So
I can't believe you don't like Braveheart and Gladiator. I mean, I can't believe that. Have you seen those movies?
No.
Wow.
No interest.
Wow.
When I say no interest, like those four that I just mentioned, zero interest.
You know they made a sequel to A Christmas Story?
No.
I couldn't even get past the trailer. That's how bad. If you have Netflix, you can go find the trailer to A Christmas Story Part 2. It is horrible.
Yeah, I don't need a second part to that.
I got a couple of them. My nephew watches the Alvin and the Chipmunk series ad nauseum nonstop. Yeah, I know. They're up to four, and it's so hard to watch because it's so cheesy. Same thing with my niece. She loves the High School Musical movies. Those are just hard to watch, but those are for kids, so they enjoy it. For me personally, outside of about 30 minutes of the original, I'd give or take the Godfather series.
Mike Bell might fight you.
I might shoot him right now.
I've only seen the first one, and I watched it on a plane coming back from San Francisco.
You have to watch two.
I heard that.
One and two, you could skip three.
One and I heard two three was are terrible. Incredible. Incredible.
The other one that might get Arthur Trish slapped from him to the back of my head, Fast and Furious series. I mean,
what?
To this
what
point.
What's wrong with you?
It's so overrated. It's so hokey. It's so cheesy.
That's the whole
it's
point.
So over the top. It's like the Transformer series, too. The first one was kind of neat.
Yeah,
kind
of nostalgic. First one was good.
Now it's just hard to watch because it's too much.
Oh, it jumped the shark. I mean,
there was so much Megan Fox
one,
in
like
that first one,
it was like a two-and-a-half-hour movie.
I know, but it was all about Megan Fox made that first movie.
Yeah, but then they dropped it.
Wasn't she in one of them? I don't know.
She was in the first one.
Yeah, she was in the first two.
So was Shia LaBeouf before he lost his damn mind.
Well,
I mean, the first one was neat because you're like, oh, this is big. I grew up on Transformers.
Yeah, me too.
So the first one was like, this is kind of cool. And then it just got kind of dumb.
What else? You got anything else?
No, that's all I got for you.
Preacher Man.
Kids movies and
iconic movies you're not feeling.
I don't know. I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch, you know.
You don't watch any scary movies? So have you seen the original Halloween?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Okay.
Because I didn't know any better.
No wonder
you don't
watch
scary movies.
I watched
all that
stuff
when I was a kid. You know, Halloween, Exorcist, you know, all that stuff when I shouldn't have been watching it because I was too young. Scared the crap out of me.
Hunger Games, is that one that we should be watching?
No!
Because we're up to like five of them.
Why would we ever watch that?
I've seen two of them. I went with the boys when they were down here before they went up to Minnesota. And those are movies that I tried to like and just never really could like. Mm-hmm. They're so disjointed and the scenes are weird and slow moving. I'm not feeling it. I tried to like it and I couldn't like it.
A couple of tweets coming in here. At Rick and John 929, Predator.
What?
I disagree with the original. Predator was
okay.
Awesome.
Stop it.
Fantastic.
Stop it. Predator is one of the greatest movies of all time. What can you guys recreate the noise that the Predator made?
No, I cannot. somebody tweeted in Titanic.
That's the best I can do at rolling my R's, by the way.
The only way you're watching Titanic is if you're on a date and the woman wants to watch that. There's no man that goes, you know what? Titanic's on. I'm copping out 4 hours
exactly.
of my day.
I've seen that movie once.
Yep, once.
Once was enough. My wife can sit there and watch it if it comes on TV.
Yeah, see it one time.
I can't do it.
It was once on was HBO, had it in rotation at the end of the summer. I sat there and watched the whole thing.
That Kate Winslet scene's pretty solid.
You started
pretty
crying
solid.
Too, didn't you?
A little. Don't you judge me.
Somebody said The Notebook.
Come on, Jack.
Never seen Jack? It.
What the hell's The Notebook?
I
sounds
don't
like
know.
A chick flick.
Chick flick.
It is.
Okay, all right. I'm out.
Indiana Jones. How about that? Yeah.
Stop it.
How about the last one?
The original one was fine. It was like nine. There.
Two was really good, too, I think, right?
I have no interest in
Crystal
watching.
Crystal Skull, the last one they did with Harrison Ford, it was terrible.
Because he was a rickety skeleton of a man at that point?
It was just a trash movie.
Lord of the Rings. Yeah, no
interest. You've got to carve out half your day to watch one of those bad boys.
Somebody else tweeted in 50 Shades of Grey. Again, that's
who?
You go with your girl and you just.
To me, there's just not enough nudity in those movies. I mean, if it's supposed to be all about, you know, knocking boots and all that kind of stuff, well, then show me something.
Thank you, Shane Jordan, on Twitter. He's also with me.
Fast Mark's,
and the Furious
Mark's got
movies.
A friend.
Yeah, no interest whatsoever.
Yeah. Guys are dead to me. You need to go see. You need to go see Scar. You would have said Scarface. I would have came back there and put a scar on your face.
I'll get to it eventually.
It's one of the great movies of all time.
It's iconic.
Hey, we'll come back. We're going to talk about college football bowl season. Rick and I are going to try to be entertaining as we pick the bowl season. It's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
No, I want an official red undercover and I shoot you in a jet with my leg rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Ho, ho, ho. No!
Mentality with Andy Bunker.
Listen.
I've been one of these guys over the years who has ripped bowl season because there's too many bowls. And then 2017 happened. And my love affair with college football has billowed to the point where it's an obsession. Mm-hmm. And it is now, it's just one of my favorite things to do in sports, some of my favorite debates to have. And I'm a gigantic, enormous fan of college football. So Southerners, you win, okay? You have completely turned me inside out as a sports fan. Now, I'm not going to say I like college football better than the NFL, but nevertheless, my love affair with college football is raging right now. So, I have never challenged myself to make all 40 bowl picks. Never before in my life have I done this. I've just kind of talked about the bigger games. But I've actually done research on Western Kentucky and Georgia State and that kind of thing. So, John and I are going to run through every bowl game. Chronological order, and we are going to put our confidence number on each of these bowls over the next two segments, A, to help you if you're in a confidence pool.
Sure.
Maybe you can glom onto our decision-making a little bit, but for entertainment purposes, of course.
Mm-hmm. We've got a little bracket challenge, not like the NCAA tournament, but the College Bowl Mania challenge going here at 92.9 The Game. I've sent out invitations to a bunch of people. So far, it's me, you, and John Chuckery are the
Chuckery.
Only three that have signed up and actually put our entries in.
His zips are going down, though.
Yeah, they probably are.
His zips are going down.
I don't
down.
Think the confidence level of the zips is going to be very high. Uh-huh. Here's where we have to challenge ourselves as well, Rick. There's 41 games to pick.
Mm-hmm.
We have roughly 40 minutes of, not even that, about 36 minutes, 35 minutes to get through these picks.
I'm a verbose individual. I will try to be brief.
Yeah, we're going to have to move along fairly swiftly through the picks.
So let's get cracking, John.
All
Come
right.
on.
So the first one up the bat, it is the Celebration Bowl. It is Grambling and North Carolina A&T.
This is the best combined records of two teams in one bowl game. There's one loss between these two teams.
Look at that.
So they're both really, really good. North Carolina A&T, to me, is the better football team. I can't remember the research that I did too many games, but my research pointed to NCAA&T with a confidence level of 24.
I don't know much about these teams, so my confidence level is 1 on this game. I am going to take Grambling. Pitched against Grambling 4 times in college. Got offered a scholarship by Grambling to go be one of their pitchers. I turned them down because I was moving to Atlanta. I will just say the scenery at Grambling is thumbs up. So we'll go with Grambling in the game. But it gets 1 confidence
you
point.
You just made the secretary
me.
Pick in the NCAA tournament right there. I love it.
That's all I got.
I love it.
The next game up for bid, Troy and North Texas. That game goes down at the Louisiana Superdome, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome down there, 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Well, we all know that Troy beat LSU, and so you could just go for that reason. And North Texas is pretty good, but and Troy, I looked into Troy a little bit. They're balanced, pretty good on offense, pretty good on defense. They have a good quarterback. I have a confidence level of 36 on the Trojans.
Funny, I have Troy with a confidence level of 37. They are 20-5 over their last 25 games. Neil Brown's done a great job down there. Surprising he hasn't got a better job. Next up for bid is the Auto Nation Cure Bowl. It's our Georgia State Panthers against the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
Well, athletically, Western Kentucky's way better than Georgia State. Georgia State did well just to make a bowl game, and I do think there's going to be a little bit of that happy-to-be-there thing, John, whereas Western Kentucky is typically a really good team in their conference, and so I've got a confidence level of 35 on Western Kentucky.
I'm actually taking Georgia State in this game. Georgia State is a 6.5-point favorite over Western Kentucky, according to the line on ESPN. So give me the Panthers. I got a buddy that does some radio over there for them, so I'll take Georgia State. Only a confidence level of 3, though.
3? Okay,
it.
Okay. But you're riverboating me on this one, John.
Yeah, I'm boat-siding you, whatever it may be. 3:30 on Saturday, Sam Boyd Stadium. We should call this the Mark Owens Bowl, but it's known as the Las Vegas Bowl. Boise State and Oregon, this is actually a pretty sexy matchup.
I am convinced Oregon is winning this game. Here's the thing. Justin Herbert is going to be the QB. They're 6-1 with him. Mm-hmm. They're 1-4 without him. He can spin it. He's an NFL prospect. They have a ton of other players that can get it done on offense. They have a very pesky, ornery, sack-friendly, takeover-friendly defense. Alexander Mattison, the best player for Boise State, may not be able to play in this game. He's their star running back. So give me Oregon with a confidence level of 38.
I have got Boise State in this game.
Wow.
Here's what it comes down to. Who's coaching Oregon? It's not the guy that they all played for all year.
It's Cristobal.
Yeah, well, you can have fun with Mario Cristobal because Willie Taggart's hightailed it down to Tallahassee, Florida. This is one of those motivational games. Boise State wants to win, wants to finish 11-3. Oregon's going, great, we got a new coach. And how many of our kids are going to bounce at the end of the year because Willie Taggart's not the coach? Give me Boise State confidence level of 10.
Love
it. Next up for bid, the Gildan New Mexico Bowl, where you get a bag of chips, an Oakley sunglasses, and a fishing pole, I believe, is their swag bag. Colorado State and Marshall.
Marshall's not very good this year. Colorado State covered the spread against Alabama, you may recall. I foretold that for you in our six-pack of picks. Nick Stevens is a terrific quarterback, and Michael Gallup is arguably the best wide receiver in football. There are some who think that Michael Gallup should have been one of the All-Americans over either James Washington or Anthony Miller of Memphis, and how dare you for even putting anybody over my guy Anthony Miller. So I will take Colorado State with a confidence level of 34.
I also have Colorado State for everything that you just mentioned. Mike Bobo, one of the good coaches in college football. They're going to throw it all over the place. I've got a confidence level of 35 on the Colorado State Rams. Moving on, this is the Preacher Man game, the Raycom Media Camilla Bowl. It's Arkansas State and Middle Tennessee State in beautiful downtown Montgomery, Alabama.
Arkansas State can light up the scoreboard, man. They're a very, very good offensive team. One of the elite teams in their conference and in their level of college football. I have a very high confidence level on this one. And it's no shade at all thrown on Preacher Man's MTSU squad. I think Arkansas State wins this one. Confidence level of 33.
I do not have as much confidence level, but I do take Arkansas State. Is it Coach Anderson, Blake Anderson, their coach? They're up-tempo. They're going to try to run 95, 100 plays. Didn't work for Syracuse when they played against Middle Tennessee State. I thought that was an anomaly for the Blue Raiders. Give me Arkansas State, even though they called Miami chicken to not go there and play them after a hurricane, which was nonsense. Arkansas State will win the game. I've got a confidence level of 17.
Okay, what else, man?
Oh, next
up. I'm excited. This is fun. Picking bowl games for y'all, man.
This is an awesome game. The Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
The Trey Wingo Bowl.
It is the Florida Atlantic Owls against the Akron Zips.
This is my second most confident. And, John, what I'm doing, I am so we have 40 bowl games, then we have the national championship game. I am putting 41 points on my prediction for the national championship game. And I don't have 41 points of confidence on that, but I'm just rolling that way for the sake of this competition. I think it's fun. But FAU, to me, has a 40. That is my confidence level that they will crush the Akron Zips. This is not one of those really good years for Akron. It is a great year for FAU. That offense is rolling with Lane Kiffin as predictably it would be, so go Owls. Confidence level of 40.
This is actually my number one pick. Driscoll, the quarterback there, they sling it everywhere. Lane Kiffin, it looks like he's going to stick around and be the coach maybe for year number two. Give me FAU the highest level possible. They get all 41 points from me.
Nice.
Go Owls.
And it's a home game, Coach.
Yes, it is.
How you going to feel about that, Coach, when you win the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Cola whatever kind of bowl game?
Go Owls.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it.
Come
watch you? Yeah, we'll
go Owls.
We will. You can sit on one of the lawn chairs under the palm trees there at the Boca Raton.
Go Owls.
Thank you, Coach. All right, next up.
Go Owls.
I'm not even sure
Stop
where
it.
This bowl This is in Frisco, Texas at Toyota Stadium. The DXL Frisco Bowl between SMU and La Tech.
Go Owls.
SMU.
No, Coach, it's not your turn anymore.
This is not a very good La Tech team. SMU has not one, but 2,000-yard receivers.
And Cortland Sutton's a ball player.
And Cortland Sutton is, I'm seeing him going 10th in mock drafts in the NFL draft. How dare you place him higher than Anthony Miller in a mock draft. But nevertheless, SMU has a great offense. They also have a terrible defense. So I've got a confidence level of 18 on SMU.
Okay, I also have SMU. The interest there is Chad Morris no longer the head coach. Do they want to play? This is a little different than Oregon because SMU's just happened to be going back bowling again. I do have SMU in the one. You've got a lot of high confidence on these kind of toss-up type games.
I do. It's kind of, yeah, and it may blow up in my face. But, for example, John, we'll get to it. Like Penn State-Washington, I've analyzed this game everywhere to Sunday, and it comes down to a coin flip. So I can't put like a 25 on that game.
I have 5 points of confidence in the SMU Mustangs.
Okay.
Let's move on. Thursday, December the 21st. The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. That goes down in St. Petersburg, Florida at Tropicana Field. It's the Fighting Butch Davises of Florida International against the Temple Owls.
Go Owls.
Temple made a quarterback
change. It's the wrong Owls, Coach.
Temple made a quarterback change that has them playing well, so they are live in this game. But FIU's been really solid all year. I will go with FIU with a confidence level of 14.
I am taking Butch Davis. That is my coach. He will always be my coach, and I'm putting 20 points on the Panthers or Golden Panthers or whatever the hell they're called at this point. Let's move on. Here should be a fun one. December the 22nd, the Bahamas Bowl, Thomas Robinson Stadium in Nassau, Bahama, Ohio. The Bobcats of Frank Solich against Bill Clark and UAB back from the dead and in a bowl game.
This is going to be a very good game. Ohio's good. UAB is good. UAB is a way better story. I'm going just for the story, John, and the whole emotional ride they've been on. I'm going UAB with a confidence level of 13.
I called, I believe, the last game where I was doing sidelines for the last game that UAB played before the program shut down. Coach Clark was as cool as can be, one of the nicest guys I've ever had a chance to interview. So because of that, I am going to take UAB. My confidence not as high as yours. I've got UAB 6 points of confidence.
It's going to be a good game.
All right, let's move on. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. You know you're in a grab-blank bowl game when you play at 4 o'clock on a blue turf in late December. It's Central Michigan and your Wyoming Cowboys.
Well, this is the most difficult bowl game to pick, in my opinion, because we don't know if Josh Allen is going to play. He's the most important player in this game. So I'm going Central Michigan. Jeez. Central Michigan with a confidence level of 2.
I don't even see this one on my list anymore. I'm trying to scroll through and figure out what confidence. I don't even know who I picked in this game. That's how tough this one was. I did pick you, Coach, so calm down. There we are. I have Central Michigan in this one as well because of the Josh Allen factor. Confidence level of 7.
Okay.
Not very much.
Nope. That's a coin flip.
I've got a lot of low confidence in these games I don't know much about. Move on. Saturday, December the 23rd, the Birmingham Bowl, Legion Field, South Florida, and your favorite team, Texas Tech.
That's funny. I had a lot of Texas Tech players in John's Fantasy League. This is going to be a good game. It's going to be a lot of scoring. UCF frequently over 50. You know how Texas Tech likes to play. Mm-hmm. I am picking UCF for one reason.
Or USF.
USF for one reason. Cliff Kingsbury. I'm not a fan. Mm-hmm. He runs when he should throw. He throws when he should run. I'm just not a fan. I'm picking USF because with a confidence level of 19.
Well, right now your $11 will get you in that game, according to ESPN. South Florida, 2.5-point favorite. I think they blow doors off of Texas Tech. I've got South Florida with a confidence level of 36.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah, it's a blowout game.
I like it.
Quentin Flowers and company, they're going to put up big, big numbers. Let's move on. The Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, that goes down in Fort Worth, Texas. San Diego State and Army.
Well, we just saw Army, and this is a very good Army team. Correct me if I'm wrong, but they won the Commander-in-Chief Cup this
year. They
did. So they're solid, man. Obviously, they run the ball every single time, and they're a tough out. But SDSU beats Stanford. SDSU has Rashad Penny, mm-hmm. who is a senior playing his last game, and he's already over 2,000, probably has like a 200-yard game in this one. Give me SDSU with 37 confidence.
Ooh, I do not have that much confidence because Army will take the air out of the ball. It'll be a low possession, low scoring game. I do have San Diego State to win, but confidence not quite as high. Only 9
really?
Points of confidence for San Diego State.
It could be a swing game.
All of these early games are swing games for me and you because you have a ton of confidence. I just threw my phone and I don't have quite as much confidence in some of these as you do. Let's move on. The Dollar General Bowl. in Mobile, Alabama.
$1 to get in?
Where else would actually $87
really?
Right now to get into this game.
Wow.
Should be a very good game between a couple of power group of five teams. It's App State and it's Toledo.
Toledo rolls in this one. Their offense is stupid. Mm-hmm. They actually hung with Miami early in the year. 39, my confidence level on Toledo.
I do have Toledo as well. Logan Woodside, one of the great quarterbacks that you probably haven't seen play. The kid is accurate. They go at 1,000 miles an hour. Jason Crandall, a guy that may end up getting a bigger job somewhere down the road. Give me Toledo. 27 points is the confidence level in that one. Let's see. Boy, we got a lot of games to get through. We got to hurry up, like really fast.
I know. Stop playing Go Owls, Mark. Right. It's your fault.
Fresno State, Houston. Go. Hawaii Bowl.
I've got Fresno State with a confidence level of 3.
I don't even know where I have it. Where do they go? I tried to go so fast, I can't find who I have. I have Fresno with a confidence level of 12.
All right.
We'll try to get through the rest of these, which may take up more than another segment. No more Go Owls from Coach Kiffin. But that's coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Watch the Owls. Have a great year and a championship run. Go Owls.
Welcome back to the Midday Show with Rick and John. That's Lane Kiffin, head coach of FAU, and we love playing his sound bites. So let's get cracking, man. We have all these bowl games to pick with a confidence level next to them, and John and I both very confident that FAU will beat Akron.
Real quick, Natres Patrick, the marijuana charges against him apparently dropped. So we'll see how that plays out. Shocking that they were dropped as we get ready for a college football playoff.
Let's go, Natrez.
No, you know, we hope the best for the young man in all
Three pots and you're in, apparently.
Maybe. Haven't heard whether he's going to be suspended or not, but apparently charges dropped for Natrez Patrick. We got to move quickly now. So we've got 26 games to get through in 13 minutes. Any chance this happens?
So why are you talking? Let's go.
All right, let's
go. Give
me
games.
Utah, West Virginia, Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl.
No Will Greer. I'm taking Utah, and I've got a confidence level of, where the hell is this game? Where's my Utah game? I'll just say 20. Confidence level of 20.
I have Utah as well. Confidence level of that game is 15.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move on. Duke and Northern Illinois. Duke and Northern Illinois in the Quick Lane Bowl in downtown Detroit.
Duke stabilized late in the year, win against Georgia Tech, win against Wake, which was impressive to me. I'll take Duke with a confidence level of 23.
I have Duke in this one. No, actually, I don't. I have Northern Illinois with a confidence level of 19.
Interesting.
Not sure why, but that's what that's the button.
You're going with it, right?
Hell, why not? Cactus Bowl, Kansas State and UCLA in Phoenix, Arizona.
One of the toughest games to predict. You don't know where motivation is going to be for UCLA. Josh Rosen, is he into it? Does he feel like playing? I'm taking Kansas State because I just think the UCLA thing is funky. And, John, as you know, they play no D. I got a confidence level of 10.
I got Kansas State in this one, confidence level of 21. I think they'll be able to move the football against a bad Bruins defense. Move on. The Walk-Ons Independence Bowl. It's Florida State and Southern Miss.
I think Florida State is going to roll in this game. But a confidence level of 12 because the talent isn't what it was. I don't know, John. I just think Florida State, they tried so hard to get into this bowl game, and I don't think they're going to try hard and then try to lose. I got a 12.
I think Cam Akers runs wild. Jock Patrick does his thing as well. I've got FSU confidence level 40.
What?
Yep. They're a 15.5-point favorite over Southern Miss. All they have to do is win. I don't have to give them.
You are so conflicted on Florida State. You hate them. You like them.
They're Southern Miss. I mean, they blew out Delaware State and they blew out Florida. They'll beat Southern Miss. Let's move on. New Era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium, the home of Giancarlo Stanton. It's Iowa and Boston College.
If you like defense and just solid play, watch this game. Great running backs. Akram Wadley of Iowa and A.J. Dillon of B.C. But Iowa's defense, John, is legit. They have a couple of All-Americans from that defense. I'll take Iowa with a confidence of 9.
I'm going to take Boston College with a confidence level of 11. It will be more of a home game for them. A lot of people come to Yankee Stadium to play. I love their defense as well. Moving on, Arizona and Purdue at the Foster's Farms Bowl in Santa Clara.
Another good game. I'm going to take Khalil Tate and the speed they have on offense for Arizona over Purdue, who a hot start, the darling of college football, and then they faded. I'll take Zona, confidence 8.
I have got Arizona as well. I've just got to figure out where I've got them as I scroll through to figure out where they are. I've got them with a confidence level of 22 over Purdue. Moving on, Texas and Missouri, the Academy Sports Outdoor Texas Bowl at NRG Stadium.
Coin flip game. I've got a confidence level of 4 on Texas winning. I wanted to go Mizzou and Drew Locke set the SEC passing record for touchdowns. I'll go Texas.
I believe I also have Texas as well, and I've just got to find. I've got a confidence level of 23. I think their defense will stand out in this game, and some time to prepare for Ellinger or Bouchel.
It is a home game, too, for them.
Basically. Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. It's Virginia, and it is Navy.
I got Virginia. I like their offense, man. I think Benkert's going to toss it. He's got a bevy of wide receivers, and they got that guy Zacchaeus, who we all like, but only a confidence level of 7. So I'm giving some respect to Navy.
I've got Virginia with a confidence level of 24, everything you just mentioned. They've played in tougher games. This is not a vintage Navy team. They're going to run it, but I think Virginia will win the game. So moving on, Oklahoma State and your boys, the Virginia Tech Hokies, in the Camping World Bowl.
Well, this is obvious. I have to pick against Mason Rudolph. He's overrated. I have to pick against Gundy. He's a choky coach. And I have to go with one of my new favorite players in college football, Josh Jackson, Vatek, with a confidence of 22.
Vatek loves to play man-to-man defense and be risky and take risks. That's going to get him blown out in this game. Give me Oklahoma State big. Mason Rudolph with a confidence level of, where'd they go? 25. Give me the Cowboys.
So you're riverboating me again.
Yep, I'm boatsiding you one more time. Stanford and TCU in the Valero Alamo Bowl.
Bryce Love's going to play. He's going to be healthy, and I think he's going to roll. They're just a better team than TCU, but TCU is a solid team. I've got a confidence level of 17.
I've got TCU in this game. I will boatside you one more time. I think Kenny Hill, in his final, his 17th final season at TCU, I think defensively they'll slow down Stanford. Give me TCU in 26.
You realize you're taking Kenny Hill in a big game.
Yep.
Advantage Campbell.
It's a big game-ish. Big game-ish.
Okay. What else you got?
Next game up, your favorite teams. The Deshaun Tates of the world, it's the Michigan State Spartans against the Paul Bibles Washington State Cougars in the San Diego Holiday Bowl.
This is an obvious pick here. First of all, I have to go against Luke Falk. So I've got a confidence level of 21 on Michigan State, and here's why, John. Lewerke, Felton Davis, I'm forgetting the names of their other wide receivers right now, but they've got three stud wide receivers. Lewerke's a heck of a quarterback, wide open game. I think Michigan State's going to light up the scoreboard.
The Holiday Bowl's normally high scoring. One team is used to playing in high scoring games. That's Washington State. So I will take them with a confidence level of 14. Very scientific what I'm doing with this. Wake Forest, Texas A&M up next in the Belk Bowl. We're almost to January. Belk Bowl.
I think Texas A&M is going to play really well in this game. They've got two quarterbacks. You got Starkle. You got Mod. You've got these two great running backs. A defense that's really good on paper but underachieved. I think they're going to flex. They're happy to have Jimbo there. I think there's going to be some inspiration by that. 25 is my confidence level.
Give me Wake Forest in this game. Confidence level is 16. John Wolford is one of the most underrated quarterbacks in college football. It's a guy that you got to pay attention to. He'll put up points against Texas. It's a home game for Wake.
We have right a ton of differences.
That's the whole point of this. NC State, Arizona State. I don't think we're going to have any difference in this one.
NC State's my little team that could. I don't know if Bradley Chubb's going to play in this game, but I still like him even without Chubb. Great offensive talent. 30 is my confidence level.
I've got NC State with 31, everything you just mentioned. Arizona State was one of the curious hires in college football. Franklin American Mortgage Bowl, the Music City Bowl, excuse me. It's Northwestern and Kentucky.
Tough game to call. I'm going to go with Northwestern after a lousy start. They play very consistent ball down the stretch. It's a coin flip game. I've got a 11 confidence on Northwestern.
Quietly, Northwestern goes 9-3. Quietly, they will win this game. I've got a confidence level of 28 for the Wildcats.
Okay.
Your favorite game, the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. Utah State, New Mexico State.
I've got a confidence level of 1 on Utah State.
I have got 2. For Utah State.
Next.
AT&T Stadium, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl, USC and Ohio State.
Woo, what a doozy this one is. USC, I've got with a confidence level of 26, just because I like them. I like the Pac-12. That's why I went with them. And I like throwing shade on Ohio State.
I've got USC with a confidence level of 29, because, quite frankly, I don't like Ohio State, and I don't care what their fans think about that. Moving on, the Tax Slayer Bowl, Louisville and Mississippi State.
I think this is a lock for Louisville.
Yeah.
I should probably have it higher. I got a 27. Mississippi State without their QB, last college game for Lamar Jackson. I think Jackson puts on a show.
No Dan Mullen, no Nick Fitzgerald. Give me Louisville, 30 points for the Cardinals.
I like it.
Iowa State, Memphis in the AutoZone Liberty Bowl.
Well, this game's in Memphis, okay? I've got Memphis with a confidence level of 29. They've got probably my favorite player in college football in Anthony Miller, so I'll go with Memphis.
I like defense in this game. Give me Iowa State. They've just shown some grittiness and toughness. 18 points for the Cyclones, and partly I don't want Arch to punch me in the head by picking against them. The Mike Conte game. It's the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl. Him and Andy Bunker, the loser, will headbutt the door. Penn State against Washington. Who do you have in this one?
To me, it's the toughest big game to handicap. It's a coin flip. I'm going Penn State with a confidence level of 5.
I don't think it's that tough to handicap. I think Penn State's just a better team. Washington, every time they got pushed, they didn't really push back. Give me Penn State. Confidence level in this one, very high. 33 points for the Nittany
wow.
Lions.
Wow.
Moving on. The Capital One Orange Bowl, Hard Rock Stadium, the home of the turnover chain. It's Miami in a home game against Wisconsin.
I had Miami with a very low confidence number, and then John reminded me that it's at Hard Rock Stadium, so I bumped it up quite a bit. 31 is my confidence in the Canes.
I've got the Canes, shocking. 38 confidence level.
Nice.
Wisconsin runs slow-plotting offense. Miami's defense will eat that nonsense alive. Moving on, the Outback Bowl, Michigan, South Carolina. We're almost done, I promise. Smooth. Michigan,
total coin flip game. I have no idea who's going to win this game, but Peters will be back to QB Michigan. I'll take Michigan with a confidence of 6.
Just so Sekou Smith doesn't want to fight me anymore, I'll stay with Michigan as well. Confidence of 32.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah, they'll play defense.
Wow.
I don't
okay,
think South
you're
Carolina
blowing my mind with that. I think it's a way closer game than that.
Auburn, Central Florida right here, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Chick-fil-A, Peach Bowl.
It's a lock. I told you, UCF, watched them in that championship game. They are a very soft defense and a very soft team in general. I think Auburn is going to rough up Mackenzie Milton, and I got Auburn with a confidence level of 28.
I've got Auburn confidence level 39. 39 for the Auburn Tigers. Outback or Citrus Bowl, excuse me, LSU and Notre Dame.
Tough game to call. I got LSU. They did a great job on Lamar Jackson in their bowl game last year. So I presume they'll be able to do the same thing against Brandon Wimbush.
I do as well. I've got LSU confidence of 34 for the LSU Tigers. I may move some of these around. I've got some really high confidence right at the end. Let's move on.
That's
National semifinals, Oklahoma and Georgia.
I've got Georgia 41, Oklahoma 31, and I've got a confidence level on this game of 32.
Oh, wow. I've got Georgia to win this football game. I've got a confidence level of 4.
Whoa. We have a million differences. All right, what's up next?
Clemson, Alabama.
What did I have for a score in this game? I think like 28, 22, something like that. I got the Tide, and I got a confidence level of 16.
I have Clemson in this one. I think the Tigers will win the national championship. Confidence level of 8. And then the final one would be the national title game. You would have Alabama, Georgia. I would have Clemson, Georgia.
And I've got Georgia beating the Tide 24-22 in a classic. And I have a confidence of 41 on the Dogs to win it all.
Wow. High confidence on the Dogs. I have got Clemson winning the national championship over Georgia. 13 is the confidence level.
Interesting.
In that one.
This has been really fun, man.
So there you go. Hey, we'll move on. College football cheat sheet next. You guys chime in, 404-741-0929. What bowl games do you consider locks?
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Give us a call right now, 404-741-0929. That is 404-741-0929. Rick and John want to talk to you. What are your locks for bowl season? John, I got 9 of them. I got 4 big game locks, and I got 5 little game locks. My big game locks, Georgia over Oklahoma.
Okay.
I think Georgia's winning this football game for a variety of reasons that we're going to break down every way to Sunday. But just to boil it down for you, I believe that the Georgia defense is going to contain the Oklahoma offense more than the Oklahoma defense is going to contain the Georgia offense. So that's just kind of a basic breakdown. Auburn and UCF, it is a lock. The only way Auburn loses this game is if they play the SEC I don't give a darn card and show up as dead men and ghosts. I don't think that's going to happen. By the way, UCF lost their top offensive lineman, Aaron Evans. He is not going to play in this game. Does that sound like a formula for success against Auburn's front seven?
No. No, not at all.
Lamar Jackson against what's left of Mississippi State to me is a lock. NC State over Arizona State to me is a lock. And then the little games, John, FAU over Akron, Toledo over App State, Oregon over Boise State, SDSU over Army, and Troy over North Texas. Those are my 9 locks for bowl season.
North Texas is going to get blown out by Troy. I think Florida State absolutely demolishes Southern Miss in this game. I agree with you on Auburn. I agree with you on FAU. I think South Florida is a runaway win against Texas Tech. Runaway. And I think Colorado State against Marshall is a blowout scenario.
I like those calls.
If you want to go to the big games, the games I have the most confidence in, Auburn is one. I think Miami matches up very well with Wisconsin. I think Penn State is way better than Washington, and I think we'll find that out in the bowl game. But those are the ones that I think. Go to the phones, 404-741-0929. You guys can sound off on these as well. Your college football fandom is really cool to watch blossom.
Yeah.
Because when we first started doing the show, I said, Rick, we really got to talk college football a bunch. And you were like, okay, if we have to. Wasn't pushback, but it was kind of like, all right, I'll roll with the flow. And now all of a sudden it's like, dude, you might be immersed in college football more than I am.
That it's, John, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything like that, but we as broadcasters and as professionals need to self-evaluate and figure out where we're strong and where we're a little weak. And I looked in the mirror and I said, your college football analysis and knowledge isn't even close to good enough. And so this year I fully dedicated to it and dove in the deep end of the pool. And like I said, it hasn't been like, oh, God, I got to do this. I've loved every minute of it. I mean, I look through every single game when we go against the spread. I don't just look Power 5. I'm looking at MAC games and SWAC games and all of it. So, again, the Southerners, y'all win.
Right.
You turned this Northern Yankee inside out. I am now head over heels in love with college football.
Yeah, college football is one that once you dabble into this, you can't go halfway. You got to go all the way. Like, I don't need guys coming up to me going, who does Georgia play again? Oh, yeah, that's a fun game. And no, it's a national semifinal. It's a huge game. Like, those are the guys I want to really dive into and talk about and do all that stuff. Let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. What are your bowl game locks? Adam and Alpharetta, which one do you have on the lock screen?
Hey, boys. Hey, first of all, I like your choices. They're pretty good. But I got to say, ASU over NC State, 31-21. The boys are going to be giving Todd Graham all they got before he bounces. Thanks, guys.
Let me ask, Adam, before you go, what do you think about the hire of Herm Edwards out there?
I love him, man. I think he's a leader of men, and I think he's going to do great. I really do.
Adam, have you watched NC State play this year?
Yeah, legit team. I like them. They're good.
Okay, but Arizona's not a legit team. Arizona State is like, all right. They're like,
well, let me ask you,
they
this.
Are right.
Have you seen ASU play lately?
I have. I mean, I know they have a heck of a guy in N'Keal Perry, and Kyle Williams, a heck of a player. Wilkins, their quarterback's pretty good, but NC State's got a bevy of future NFL players, brah.
Hey, we'll just have to see. I'll have to follow up with you guys afterwards.
Absolutely. We love it,
man. Thanks for the call.
Calling
Adam.
In. We'll see what happens.
He's got ASU as a lock.
Wow. That's
bold.
Hey, you know what? If they win, that will be not a lock, but that will be a shock to me if they go out and win that
football
game.
We're going to have to eat crow if NC State doesn't win.
I don't want to eat an actual crow because I don't think – crow's probably kind of gamey. I don't know if you can put enough hot sauce on a crow to make it taste any better.
We'll just have M.O. tenderize it a little bit, and then we'll be okay.
You take a mallet and just whack it three or four times?
Like several times. Whack, whack. Right in the gut.
I don't even know where you'd start to eat a crow. Like, can you make
Not at the head or the beak, I'm guessing.
Can you get, like, crow wings?
The head or the beak would be a little crunchy.
You know what's funny, and we'll get to the phones here in just a second. One of our buddies that does radio down in Miami for an intercom station down there lost a bet because of Kristen Yelich. He had made a bet a year and a half ago. Kristen Yelich, he was one of those, you know, hot takes. Kristen Yelich will never hit 20 home runs in his career. Like, he's never going to be a 20 home run a year guy. If he hits 20 home runs, I will eat an actual crow. And Brandon Tobin had to eat an actual crow.
Well, that'll teach him to make guarantees. See, I learned my lesson.
The problem is, how do you catch a crow? Do you got to sit out there with like a BB gun and...
And I don't know. I'd be worried about getting a disease from eating said crow.
Me too. Let's
just
go.
Saying.
Let's go to Jeremiah on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Jeremiah, how you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Yeah.
My girlfriend's gone to the store, so I can say this, and I hate to say it, but I think that boy from Oklahoma is going to roll over Georgia. I hate to say it, and I think Clemson's going to get Alabama. But that's just the way I feel. My opinion.
Hey, Jeremiah, but Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma have not played a defense that could be categorized as elite.
Well, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. But that offense is some more powerful. I don't think Georgia can get them. I hope they do. I mean, God knows I do. But I just don't think they'll get them.
Jeremiah, keeping it real, John.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, we appreciate the call, man.
We do, as always. You know what I want to keep it real about for a second?
Now, we talk about big voice guy. Jeremiah is big voice guy.
Oh, yeah. He's got a future.
Steve, we love you, but Jeremiah, not to heck with that. Steve works with us. Steve's big voice guy.
Yeah.
You know who Jeremiah is? He's bigger voice guy.
Yeah, he's bigger caller guy, and he's a guy that I ain't messing with because he's seen some things and done some things. You know those certain guys you go,
bro, if he's walking this way, you just walk the other way.
And
that's it.
I'm guessing Jeremiah has that old man strength, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I say that affectionately. I'm not trying to be, you know, whatever. It's a phrase, old man strength,
and
it's a compliment.
Have you ever done a handshake with Artis Gilmore?
Yes.
Oh, dude, he'll break your hand.
Like the A-Train, the old ABA player?
Yes.
Yeah, I see him every time at the Hall of Fame, and I shake his hand, and I brace myself.
Yeah, you bring back a stub.
It's unbelievable. Have you shook Chris Webber's hand?
No.
He engulfs your hand. Literally one of the biggest. And Dr. J as well. You shake his hand, you're like, there goes my hand.
Preacher,
where'd my hand go?
Lynn Swann is a habitual hand breaker.
Yeah, I've actually, my dad and I ran into him at the Masters 1 year. It was back in the late 90s, and we introduced ourselves, shook hands. And yeah, his grip is ridiculous.
I heard Adrian Peterson's the same way.
I don't know.
Heard Adrian Peterson.
When was the last time you actually shook the underboss's hand?
Sean Thompson?
Yeah. I mean, chest bump every day.
I give him like a bro hug every day.
Oh, but. Yeah, dead fish.
So he's got the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just kind of,
kind of falls in.
There you go. Let's go to Rob. Rob on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rob, what's your lock in the bowl games?
So I like Penn State. I actually like Army in the game there. I like Clemson, like Oklahoma, and I like Iowa.
Wow, okay. Interesting
Penn
picks
State
with that.
Penn State a lock.
I love Penn State. I think Penn State rolls Washington.
They are not a lock, though. I can't disagree with it. They might win the game, but we love your opinions, but that you say something and we react to it. I just think it's very far-fetched to say Penn State's a lock against Washington.
I mean, outside of FAU, do you really feel that any of these games are just a true lock?
Not really. I mean, I'm calling UGA and Oklahoma a lock. I mean, and I'm not playing radio. I really do think that Georgia, if they played this game 10 times, I think Georgia wins it 8 times.
Okay.
I think they win it 8 out of 10 if they play it 10 times. Hey, college football game time presented by Bud Light is at McCray's Tavern in Smyrna. John Chuckery, Chris Goforth, Stan Norfleet broadcasting live from 11 to 3. So, again, college football game time. Bud Light is the presenter. McCray's Tavern in Smyrna, and it is a great three-headed monster of analysis.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. Great analysis with Dan Quinn this morning. We'll hear what the head coach of your Atlanta Falcons had to say next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
And by the way, thanks, man. This is better than sex. I love fantasy football.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.